It's a gospel on the radio talk show. A show about dreams and visions and a church that is indeed triumphant, alive, and well.
For the church, triumphant, is alive and well.
Hello, Tallahassee. This is the Gospel on the Radio Talk Show. I'm Pastor Jack King. I am the host. And well, I love spending this hour with you on Sunday mornings. We talk about the good things of the Lord, the church. A church triumphant, alive, and well. And we talk about what God is doing in His glorious kingdom. And I know that as I come to you this day, that we look around and we go, man, there's a lot of trouble in this world. And I'd have to agree with you. But the reality is that God is still on the throne. And I want to be able to bring that to your heart and mind on today's broadcast. So stay with me. But I do want to tell you that I have a few rules. I don't talk sports, politics, doctrine. Always speak well of one another. Had those rules ever since the very, very beginning. This is show number 1173. And I would invite you that if you are in Christian ministry to give me a call. Let's schedule a time to get you here behind these microphones so that you can share your passion for whatever it is that God has called you to do in ministry. I love to interview people. I love to hear your heart and your passion, and I love to share it with this radio audience. And so that's your invitation. Area code 850-567-1703. That's the number to call. We pre-record the shows. So you call me. We'll set a time to meet. We'll do the broadcast, and then we'll have it ready to air it on Sunday mornings, 8 o'clock, here on 94.1 on your radio dial. And then after we've done that, we'll put it on the podcast. Then it'll be out there for a long, long time for people to hear what you have in your heart concerning Christian ministry. And another way of reminding of you of this, if you've never listened to the broadcast before, I'd say that our theme for this broadcast, and it has been since way back in 2002, is the church. We talk about the church. And that was the vision that I cast. That was back at 1330 a.m. WCVC when I talked to the management there. And I said, well, they talk about everything else. Why can't we just talk about the church? And they agreed. They gave me the opportunity to start the show. And like I said, we've been doing it ever since that time, just talking about the church. And a lot of times people say, well, Pastor King, that show we did the other day, you were talking what seemed to some people to say, well, you get a little political there. And I say, well, when I say we talk about the church, anything that affects God's people, the church, then to me that's fair game, because we want the very, very best for God's people. And I am of the opinion that the church is the hope that we need, because when I say the church, I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the Son of God. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. And when we are actively involved, actively in touch with the Word of God and God's presence, then the church is going to do well. And so, no matter what happens around you, storms are howling, things seeming like sometimes it's just all about to fall apart. Just remember that we are the church. We are the mighty army with banners that's described in the book of Song of Solomon. The mighty army going forth to conquer. That's the church. We have great power, great authority. We just need to know it. And oftentimes, we just need to be reminded that we are strong and mighty in the Lord. But I have to remind you, there is an enemy, and he is strong and powerful too. Now, we are stronger than him. And the scripture declares him as being a mighty, roaring lion that's chained. So that simply says that he who is with us is stronger than he who opposes us. And we know that, and that's the devil. We are stronger than the devil. I'm also a pastor, and I want to give you an invitation to join us in services today. We are Freedom Road Christian Ministry, located 720 Capitol Circle Northeast in the Crescent Park Plaza. That is between Easterwood Drive and Park Avenue. And if you don't know where Easterwood Drive is, that's where you turn in to go into Tom Brown Park there. So if you're traveling that direction toward Park Avenue, cross over Easterwood Drive just a little further, look for our sign. We put them out there on Sunday mornings. Freedom Road Christian Ministry, a church that loves people. And it's a big sign. Look for it. You turn in right there. We're in a storefront. Love visitors. Love people. Love the Word of God. Love to praise Him. 1105 FRCM.us. That's our website. You can check that out. And come to worship with us at Freedom Road Christian Ministry. And let me just go ahead and make this announcement while I'm at it. And that's the daily broadcast. We bring the Word of God Monday through Friday here on 94.1. At 11 o'clock, it's a daily Bible teaching. People often refer to it as a devotional. I'm all right with that. And then on Saturday, we call it the Saturday edition of the Gospel on the Radio broadcast. And that's a full 30 minutes of Bible teaching, 11 o'clock. And again, you can find all that on podcast too. And then on Saturday night, it's a Saturday night gospel sing. It's 7 o'clock, a full hour of the great Southern gospel music. I call it the best music on the planet. So that gets you all caught up with all of that. And I love to, always love to know that you're out there in the audience listening to me. Now, what's going on in this world? I often refer to this time as being the silly season. Things get crazy right before presidential elections. They always do. And, of course, nowadays, crazy takes on a whole new definition many times. It just gets crazier. But I believe this. I believe that there is a spiritual force at work. Now, I'm old enough to remember when God reigned supreme, and people believed in God, and people went to church, and people who didn't go to church all the time necessarily had a respect and reverence for God. And I'm not saying that is totally lost, but I do believe it has been diminished. And I do believe that there is a spiritual war raging across the land. And I see it played out. Now, I'll remind you, I'm a radio man. I don't do a lot of television as far as news and things like that. I go a lot by just what I hear people talking about on the radio and stuff. And what has been described to me of late is demonstrations that are taking place on college campuses. And course, there's been a lot of expression of hatred for our Jewish community. And of course, as Christians, we believe that God has a special smile on his face concerning the nation of Israel. And you'll notice that in my broadcast, I pray for Israel, because I believe that God is going to ultimately allow his nation to flourish. And I remember when Prime Minister Netanyahu came in just a few years ago to address the American Congress. And this is during a time of unrest in Israel. And Prime Minister Netanyahu said, I am Mordecai. He said, I am Mordecai. In other words, to say this, he said, don't worry about Israel, because God's going to take care of Israel. He says, worry about the United States of America. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, simply this. There is a spiritual struggle for the soul of this nation. And I believe that it's been ramped up. But there is a war that's raging. And the war, as I say, for the soul of America, but also of the spiritual climate and condition of America. And much of my teachings of late, I've been trying to illustrate to people that it's about the spiritual climate. It's about the relationship of the people to God and their acknowledgement of God and worship of God. And when that is intense and it is as it should be, then prosperity follows and peace and tranquility. But when a people begin to turn their back upon God, then it's the same pattern. I mean, it throughout history, the same pattern has repeated itself. And things begins to happen. And oppression comes. And, of course, all of the other things that goes with it. Economic troubles, conflicts on the home front, the threats of war. It's all a part of the same picture. When people lose sight of the spiritual relationship between a nation, between a people, and Father God. And it's sad when we read about this in Scripture, when we see what happened to Israel, and how that it was such a powerful, wonderful country. When King David, the young shepherd boy, when he ruled and God prospered, and then under the early days of his son Solomon, it was just incredible. But we read in the Scripture, it talks about how that Solomon began to become distant to God. And then he allowed his wives, to begin to turn his heart away because they brought their idols. And, consequences for things of that nature. And I want to talk a little bit about the idols in just a little bit, because if you have tuned in, you've heard me talk about a book called The Return of the Gods by Jonathan Cahn. And this book taught me a lot and stirred my soul. But it talks about the work of the idols, of the demonic, of the devil, and how he gets his foothold and his toehold into the hearts of people and the consequences that follows. And I believe that it is important that we know these things, because if we know these things, then we understand it. Then we understand what the battle is and will understand how to defeat it. So we'll get to that in just a bit, but let's go ahead and play a little gospel music. Just kind of get things rolling here this morning. Triumphant Quartet. Somebody died for me.
Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me.
Amen. Somebody died for me. And that is what I like to help us to understand and come to an understanding of, the importance of the spiritual condition of a people. And I made this comment here a few weeks back when I was just doing the show here and didn't have anybody with me as far as guests, and that's when I really get the chance to talk to you and talk about what's on my heart. And I said a lot of times people will look to an election and they'll think, well, let's get somebody elected, a particular person, with a thought that this election will heal our land. And and that's just that's a false premise. Now, I'm mindful of elections. I really am, and they concern me. And there've been times when we've had elections, and I wanted to weep over the choices that we've made. But the thing is that it's not about always who's elected. It's about the spiritual condition of a nation. And consider this. I remember it's been several years ago, and I'm old enough now, I've lived through several presidents. My time on this earth began in the Truman administration. That tells you how far back I go. And I've seen them come and go. But the thing is that oftentimes a person that is elected does set a tone. And I remember that we had a president in the White House that was committing just terrible things in the White House. I mean, in a little room right next to the Oval Office. And I remember people just saying, oh, it's no big deal. No big deal. And sometimes I would challenge my congregation back in those days. I said, why do you suppose? Because it seemed that during those days that financially the nation was prospering and things were moving right along. And it seemed to me like that even the church, when I say the church, I talk about the church as a whole, really wasn't concerned about these things that was happening at the White House. And I remember one time at our Sunfest, which was a youth conference that I used to put on, and it happened that on Sunday morning, our speaker had to leave. And the reason why that happened was because the conference had been delayed a week because of a hurricane. And so he had a prior commitment, and he was willing to change his schedule around where he could come and still be with us, but he just couldn't do that Sunday morning. So that fell on me. And so I did the ministry that Sunday morning. And all this was fresh back in those days. And I remember saying to those young people that what's happened here has set an example for young people. And I said, do we not understand? that what's happened here has spoke to a whole young generation to say, hey, these things are okay. Well, see, that sets a tone. That sets a tone. And then you go 20 years later, and it seems like we look back and we go, well, it seems to me like that things have progressed to the negative since that time. And you can point back to that and say, yeah, that was a moment in time that set a course. And of course, when that type of thing is established, that's in direct violation to the spiritual principles of God, then there's always a price to be paid. And anything that would cause people's hearts to be turned away from God, to begin to focus on things that are carnal and cause those things to be a part of your daily existence, and that would always decrease the spiritual level and the spiritual intensity. And I remember, again, I'm rambling here because I'm just telling you what I've seen and what I've experienced in my lifetime, that you cannot separate a people from God. You can't. If you do that, then what you've accomplished here is you find it as the scripture that Jonathan Cahn in his book, Return of the Gods, refers to. This is in the Gospel of Matthew. And it talks about how that this spirit is cast out. And it says it roams in desert places. And then it decides to return back to the vessel, which would be a person that it had been cast out of after a period of time. And comes back and it finds that the vessel, that would be a human being, had been swept and it was empty. And so the spirit decides to come back and take residence in this vessel. But before he does that, he goes and brings seven other spirits with him to say that things are worse than they were. Now, if that sounds confusing, I apologize for that. Let me see if I can explain. So basically, these are all teachings of Jesus. He said, a man cast out a devil. And that devil is now out there roaming around in desert dry places. And the reason why the devil was cast out, because the presence of God now inhabited that vessel. That person had experienced Christ and had allowed the Holy Spirit to come in to its heart. And now that demon has been exorcised, and now it's gone out of that person's life. But it decides to come back, and when it comes back, it finds that this vessel no longer has the presence of God in its life. And it's empty. And so the spirit, along with the other seven, now takes residence. And it says that the state of that person is worse now than it was when the spirit was first cast out. And so Brother Khan's concept is, this is what's happened in America. That there was a time of great revival, spiritual renewal, a time when people believed in God and they worshiped God. But that has ceased to be in many cases. And so now the spiritual, or the spirits that were gone, they'd been cast out because there was no place for them to live, comes back and finds that a nation that has become empty because there's no worship of God. There's no praise of God. There's no relationship with God. And they find that these vessels are very easily now inhabited. And, of course, we read about these spirits in the Old Testament, taking the demeanor of Astoreth, the god of sexuality, Moloch, the god of murder and sacrifice of children, and to where these things did not find a spiritual residence before, they are finding it now. And we see the signs and the evidence of it, and we're somewhat stunned, shocked. But then we kind of just get used to it.
What did they call him, Lord and Christ and Mighty King?
That's right. Lord and Savior, Mighty King. Well, are you doing good out there this morning? I hope that you are preparing to go to church. It's Sunday morning. And even at this time, if you you can listen to the rest of the broadcast and still have plenty of time to make your way over to Freedom Road this morning and come worship with us. 720 Capitol Circle Northeast of the Crescent Park Plaza. We start at 11:05, so you still got a lot of time. And it doesn't take that long to get ready and make that short drive to wherever you may be driving from, and we'd love to see you. Now, we do have Sunday school at 10 o'clock if you want to make that. That's a little bit sooner, but still, you've got plenty of time to come on out and worship with us this morning at Freedom Road Christian Ministry. Check us out on the web, frcm.us. Now, I have watched, I have seen one image of these demonstrations that's been taking place. And my initial response from just what I saw, and all I saw was a bunch of tents set out. And I looked at those and I said, well, they all look the same. The tents, they're all the same, look like they're all the same brand and everything. It's the same tents. And what is being passed off here is that this is some kind of a spontaneous demonstration that's taking place. And I said, well, they just think that we're just stupid. I mean, I look at that and I say, they're all the same size. They're all the same. They all look the same. They're even the same color as far as I can tell. I said, that is not a spontaneous demonstration. A whole bunch of students didn't just go out and buy the same tent. These were brought in. These were set up. And this is a orchestrated thing. And the fact that it's just all of a sudden just sprung up all over the country. I said, no, this is an orchestrated movement. It has a purpose. And there are people behind the scenes, which is what we have seen so much of here in this country in the last few years. You see what's happening is people pulling the strings behind the scenes. And I believe it's people with ill intentions. There's reasons why these things are happening. And as I said earlier, some of it has to do with the silly season, which is, I say, during the times of presidential elections. But they're all set up to cause people to react in a way that seemingly would help a candidate that whoever they're supporting. But what concerns me about it is that those who are behind the scenes, and I don't know that they are fully identified. I think most of us have some thought as to who is pulling these strings. But there's no doubt that these demonstrators that are demonstrating, they're not all just students. These are people, some of them have been identified, of course, this is from what I'm hearing on the radio, that some of them have been identified as being many of the same people that were involved in the riots back in the early 20s, it was 2020, you know, those days before a presidential election. And then even to the point to where there would just be mysteriously a truck would back up during the afternoon and unload a pallet of bricks. Just mysteriously, that would just happen. They just happened to be there when the demonstrators got there. And I said, this is all orchestrated. And it's there for ill intent to cause an unrest and a disruption in life and society to be able to sway an election. Well, my premise has been here this morning is that behind all of this, behind the people who are involved in it, there is a spirit. And I don't believe it's the Spirit of God that has intentions that are not godly. And one of the things that you always have to keep in mind, you know, what is we talk about this so often, this is, what is it that the devil is always about? It has to steal and to kill and to destroy. Disruption, he's all about it. It's always the same thing. His motives never change, and many times his methods don't change because it's all about swaying people into that which would be his dominion and his attempt to bring people chained into his dominion forever. But see, the church has just the opposite mission. Because when you read the teachings of Jesus, Jesus talks about, he says, I come to bring peace. And he talks about that he's come to give us life and life more abundant, quality of life. And if you had a chance yesterday to tune into the Saturday edition of the Gospel on the Radio broadcast, you would have heard me talking about the days of Solomon. And how that during the days of Solomon, in those early years, those were wonderful times for that nation. And in the early years of King David, wonderful times for that nation. Because the people had their eyes, in the early days of Solomon, they had their eyes on building that temple. And the whole nation was caught up in this a wonderful thing that was happening, this building of this temple, this place to glorify God and to bring God to the preeminence of society and a people who just love to worship God. And you think about this, that across the landscape of, let's say, of America, when there is a time when people gather together on Sundays with a true heart of worship, because the Spirit of God says that he inhabits the praises of his people. God loves to hear the words, the songs of praise. And that day, and I talked about this in the sermon, that day when they dedicated that temple, and the Shekinah glory of God was so real and so powerful and so intense, the priest couldn't even enter into the temple. That's what I'm talking about. That if a nation has that heart for spiritual things and a spiritual relationship with God and a heart to worship him, then God's going to bless that nation. God's going to bless those people. And it'll be very, very evident of the hand of God upon them. But unfortunately, history repeats itself, the same cycle. It was in the days of the judges. It was in the days of the kings of Israel. And unfortunately, it's been that way even in our nation over the years. When the spiritual climate is intense and the spirit of worship flows across the land, the glory of God resides. But when the heart of the people is turned away to follow after things that are impure, things that do not glorify the Lord and Savior, Father God, then there's always consequences that follows. It's a pattern. I think we'll just take some time right now just to worship our Heavenly Father.
Worthy is
called the Revelation Song by Charlotte Ritchie.
Who was slain, holy, holy is he. Filled with wonder,
I so hope that that song has ministered to your heart. Just the spirit of the presence. Many times when worship like that comes forth, what happens is the scripture refers to the devil as being the accuser of the brethren. And he comes, and there'll be a person, they're trying to break through to be able to enter in to this spirit of worship. But they can't, because they know. They know that they're not worthy. They know that there's sin in their life. They know that there's things that would separate us from God. And the enemy just comes, and he just pounds that. And just keeps just bringing it to you. Look, you're not worthy. Well, who are you? Who are you to think that you can lift your hearts and your hands to God and praise Him? Look at the condition of your life. And that's what He does. And so people become defeated because they say, yeah, I'm not worthy. But the reality is that we're not. I mean, we should know that. We should recognize that. No, we're not worthy. The only way that we become worthy is when we confess and acknowledge that we're not worthy. Because the scripture very clearly tells us that there is forgiveness of sin. There is forgiveness of sin. This is what the message of the gospel is all about. That is the good news. That God knows that we're human. He knows that we're flesh. He knows that we sin. And He's made a way to deal with that and to give us the escape from the penalty of our sin. When He tells us to come boldly in to His throne of grace, ask Him, forgive me. And Scripture says He's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which brings us to a place of release. Because once we've confessed our sins and asked God to forgive us of our sins, and the sins are gone, and now we're able to boldly come into His presence and worship Him. And you see, if this message would just ring across the land to tell people that God loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you, to cleanse you and to set you free from the sin that does so easily beset you, as scripture says, and allow you to accept his provision of forgiveness. And a nation that would receive that message and accept his provision of grace and mercy. I'm telling you what, God would smile upon that nation that turns their faces to him.
In the good times and bad, you are on your throne, and you are God alone.
In the good times and the bad. Yeah, that's God. That's the God that we serve. And to my podcast listeners, I apologize that you can't hear these songs that I play here on this show because of the music rights and things of that nature. But a lot of times the songs will reflect what's being said. It just kind of illustrates them. And that particular song, that's what it's talking about, that we're not alone, that God is very much alive and he's active in this day and age. And I believe that there is something happening in the spiritual world. I believe that we are ripe for revival. And history will bear this out, that a lot of times when the adults have turned their back from God, that the young people will find their way to God. And history has borne this out. And I believe that we're ripe for a move of God among the young people. And I'm excited about that. I'm just excited that, but one of the things that amazes me is how somehow or another, in the midst of our culture, with churches seemingly on every corner, and radio broadcasts, all these things, I run across so many young people who are just so uninformed about spiritual things, about the Bible. It just amazes me. And that's one of the burdens on my heart, is to bring a way to connect young people with the Word of God. Because I believe that, as Scripture says, that the Word of God is quick and powerful. And it has the ability to stir the heart. That when the Scripture is exposed to them and they begin to read it, that the glory of God will begin to take root in that heart and soul. And so just make that a matter of your prayers, if you would. But that's a real burden on my heart, is to help connect young people with the Word of God. And of course, one of the ways that we do this is a youth camp. And I have spent a lot of time talking about that on this particular broadcast, but I do a youth camp every summer. And it's a time when we bring young people there. They get away from the world, and we teach them the Word of God. We have a lot of good times. We have a lot of fun. We have recreation and things of that nature. But if you have a young person in your life, I would suggest that you register them. It's a CYMI, which is Christian Youth Ministries International Youth Camp, July 15th. Through, no, I'm sorry, 15 through 19, July 15 through 19, 2024. It's a $150 registration fee, but it's well worth it. And that includes room, board, and the whole thing. We have two camps, junior camp and a senior camp. The junior camp goes from age 8 up to 12, 12-year-olds have the option to go either junior camp or senior camp. Senior camp runs up to age 18 or through their senior year of high school. And I see what God can do at these events. I've been doing them for years, seeing young people get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, called the ministry. And give me a call, area code 850-567-1703, and we will get them registered. And I believe it that it'll be well worth what you do to help raise their funds and to get them registered, because I've just seen God just do tremendous things at these things. I pray God's blessings upon you, upon your family. Father God, I pray for this radio audience. Lord, if there be one outside of faith, Father, I pray that you would draw them in. And Lord God, we pray over our nation. Father, we pray that during this season, that God, that our eyes as a nation will be focused upon you. And Father, I pray for peace in this world. And Lord, just an end to the wars, peace. And I pray for our churches and our pastors. And Father God, I pray for peace in the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. Father God, I pray that you'd help that country and you'd help President or Prime Minister Netanyahu, Father God, that your hand would be upon him to lead and guide his people. Give him the wisdom of Solomon, I pray. Father God, all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless you.